This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Mind control has been a desired means of achieving an agenda since the days of ancient empires and the kings that ruled them. In more modern times, particular agencies use more sophisticated techniques to induce control over people. Programs like Project Bluebird or Artichoke and MK Ultra were all used in conjunction with hypnosis and a variety of drugs. Drugs like LSD, mescaline, and even ecstasy. These drugs surrendered the wills of those individuals in the program to their handlers for certain nefarious reasons. And since the days of the hippie movement of the 1960s, drugs and sex played large roles in the area of mind controllers. Men like Charles Manson and his infamous family, or David Byrd, leader of the Children of God, also known as Family International. Men like these, they controlled their followers, their groups, using specific tactics for control. And in more recent times, even religious groups began to surface and attract a following. Groups like the Branch Davidians or Heaven's Gate all successfully used particular methods of mind control for their selfish exploitations. So, how can we guard our minds against the influences of those who would try controlling us for their own self-serving purposes? Well, stay with us as we explore this question on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family. To help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
You know, in times of great uncertainty, people crave certainty. In times of instability, people want confidence. In the times that we are living in, they're an ideal environment for con men. Con men are confidence tricksters. Well, welcome to another Armor of God broadcast. I'm your host, Adrian Davis, and I want to talk today about confidence tricksters. They play on the need to believe. In times of lawlessness and uncertainty, people crave answers to life's biggest questions. They want to know, why were they born? What happens after they die? Is this all there is? And this is the perfect breeding ground for cults. And that's more specifically what I want to talk about. Deep down inside, we want to belong to a group that has all the answers. At the same time, many of us are done with mainstream religion. We want to be spiritual, but not inside mainstream religion. And this is the perfect breeding ground for cults. A cult can be, and is in fact defined, as any social group outside the mainstream. So certainly the church, and the church that Jesus built, would be considered a cult. But that's not the definition I want to work with. In fact, author Hugh Rawson, he defined a cult as any group of people, religious or not, with whom we disagree. And that's certainly how people have used the term. I want to make sure we define our term properly by looking at the etymology. The word cult comes from the Latin word cultus, and it means to care, to labor, to cultivate, and it's from which we get our word culture. It's a particular form or system of worship, a devotion and attention to a person or thing. And that's really getting at the heart of the matter. When we are devoted to a dysfunctional person or a dysfunctional thing that causes our lives to become destructive, this is the definition of a dangerous cult. And this is what we are concerned about. I'm sure if I say, you know, Branch Davidians, we think of David Koresh, the madman who claimed he was a prophet. The Moonies, the Unification Church, and their leader Sun Myung Moon. Heaven's Gate, Marshall Applewhite. The Children of God, with David Berg and his abuse of children. And of course, who can forget Jim Jones and the massacre, 918 people mass suicide in Jonestown, Guyana, with even mothers giving poisonous Kool-Aid to their babies. But cults don't have to be religious. Nazi Germany was a political cult. Here today we're dealing with a cult called Nexium, which is a multi-level marketing firm that has an executive success program for women, and we're getting news now of how dangerous a cult this is. Why does it matter that we're able to identify cults and cult leaders for who and what they are? Number one, they create great emotional havoc. They destroy people's lives emotionally. A lot of psychological angst. People lose control of their lives and end up doing the bidding of these leaders, which can often lead to murder, mass suicide, abuse, sexual abuse. Many of these things we see over and over again. And people, even intelligent people, wealthy people, elite, anybody can be a victim of a confidence trickster. It can lead, as I mentioned, to sexual abuse and child abuse, the destruction of family, something as precious as family. People turn their backs on their family, turn their backs on very deep friendships. And certainly it destroys the potential of each human being. Jesus Christ said he was the true shepherd. In John 10 and verse 10, he says, "The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's what Jesus Christ wants for his followers, that we have life and have it more abundantly. Not death, not suicide, not depression. He says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Now, before I go much further, I want to make sure that I offer you this week's offers. There are two that I'd like to offer because I'm not going to be able to get into the detail of the solution to cults that you will hear in these sermons. The first one is a sermon by Pastor Vance Stinson, and it's entitled, "The Church That Jesus Built." The Church That Jesus Built by Pastor Vance Stinson. And I want to combine that with an offer also from Pastor Bill Watson entitled, "What is the Church?" If you have these two sermons, "What is the Church?" by Bill Watson and "The Church That Jesus Built" by Vance Stinson, you will get very, very clear on the solution to these cults and how to find a resource that will really help you answer life's biggest problems. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can visit our website and order there at cgi.org. Now, if you'd like to download this information immediately, you can do that by downloading our new app, the CGI Digital Network app, from the iTunes App Store, the Google Play Store, or the Amazon App Store. There's also a wide variety of other resources, Bible studies, sermons, literature, that is all accessible through this app. So again, just go to the iTunes App Store, the Google Play Store, or the Amazon App Store, and certainly get that literature, "The Church That Jesus Built," and "What is the Church? What is the true church?" Now, I want to give you in this episode three indicators that you can use to identify whether you or someone you love is involved in a dangerous cult. Number one, the leader exudes absolute confidence. They have all the answers, they know what's what, they're never wrong. This is a dangerous red flag, a sure indicator that you're dealing with a confidence trickster. Nobody has all the answers. God has all the answers. Human beings do not have all the answers. But part of the trick is they want you to believe how special they are, and you become special. You become part of the exalted class if and only if you follow them. This really speaks to a deep insecurity in the leader. The leader is so insecure that he or she is unsettled unless they have control over other human beings. And it's kind of a collusion because the followers are also very insecure and they want somebody or need somebody to tell them what to do. So you bring two insecure people together, one who needs to have control and the other who needs to be controlled, and now you have the foundation for the building of a cult. Now, a cult can be any size. It can be as small as two people. A spouse can be involved in a cult if that leader, or if the spouse they're married to, is a control freak, that can be a cult. A family can be a cult. And a cult can be as large as the majority of humanity. And ultimately, we see that. Well, first of all, we see, for example, recently in the news, the Turpin family, 13 children, where they were abusing these children for years. And fortunately, one of the children, a 17-year-old girl, escaped and managed to call 911 and just break the whole story open. So you could be involved in a cult, even at a personal level. But also, if you look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3, we see here, it says, all the world wondered after the beast. And in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? You see this great worship of this political figure, and this, in fact, is both political and a religious cult system. And I mentioned earlier Keith Raniere, who was running a marketing company, which was also a cult, and it's grown into a very large organization that terrible abuse of the women that followed him. And I want to give a very important caution here, that the Church of God International is part of the Church of God. We never say we are the Church of God, the only true church. We never say that. We are an administration in the Church of God movement. But even in the Church of God movement, we have dangerous cults. And I'm personally aware of a single congregation that has had three members, and one is a child of a member, commit suicide because of the psychological destruction of a dysfunctional leader in the Church of God movement. So just because you're listening to someone who is preaching the Bible, who seems to be preaching mostly true doctrine out of the Bible, that does not mean you are not vulnerable to the destruction of a dangerous cult. We need to be careful. The confidence trickster makes it all about himself. It's all about the leader. He's a prophet that speaks for God. God told me to tell you. How do you resist that when God is speaking, or so they want us to believe, that God is speaking through them? In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 32, Paul says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means you'll never have a prophet come along and preach in contradiction to previous prophets. All the prophets, true prophets, inspired by the Holy Spirit, will speak the same thing. And they will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I mentioned three indicators. A second indicator, so first they're absolutely confident. A second indicator is they will isolate you. They will isolate you from family. They will isolate you from friends. And part of that isolation begins with what's called love bombing. When you come into the group, everybody loves you. Everybody makes you feel so important. You found your true family. And then once you cut off your physical family, your friends, and you just have them as your social group, now they can begin to withdraw that love and affection. Now they can begin to withdraw any sense of your significance. And that is painful. That social withdrawal, that shunning, can be very painful, and you very quickly learn to conform to their will. It creates a lot of fear and anxiety. Look at 1 Kings 11 and verse 28. I want to show you something very interesting here. Here we have this man, Jeroboam, who became the leader of the northern tribes of Israel. The scripture says that he was a mighty man of valor. And you get a sense here of the power of his personality. A lot of cult leaders have very strong personalities. They're very confident, and people will follow a strong personality. Now, in 1 Kings 12 and verse 32, we see Jeroboam setting up a false religion. He's setting up his cult. And he chooses a different month, the eighth month, the 15th day of the month, and he sets up a new worship system. Remember, we defined a cult as devotion or attention to a person or a thing that becomes dangerous. Now, in verse 26 of 1 Kings 12, we get some real insight. It says here, Jeroboam said in his heart, this is what's going on inside. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So he was concerned about, at the feast time, his followers going to Jerusalem, being exposed to the true worship system in Jerusalem, and defecting in their allegiance to him. So in verse 27 he says, "If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." And so what we see here in the psychology of Jeroboam is the fear of losing his followers. And therefore it was important for him to isolate them, to cut them off from Jerusalem, so that there would be no counter-narrative to the narrative, the false narrative, that he was putting forward. And that's what we have to watch for, that a true leader of God is not going to force you to fit into their narrative. They will give you every opportunity to search out other narratives and to see which is true. You're a thinking human being. God didn't give you this mind not to use it. They will certainly encourage you to think for yourself. Now, an argument that a lot of Christian cult leaders will use to isolate their followers is found in Matthew 10. In Matthew 10 and verse 34, he says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And in verse 16, we know this cannot be the Christian who is striking out with a sword. Because in verse 16, he begins this chapter by saying, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." It's the wolves that are dangerous, not the sheep. "Be therefore wise as serpents, but harmless as doves." The command is to be harmless. So in verse 35, he says, "I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." So many false leaders will use this to say, "See, you have to cut off your family." The Bible says no such thing. As I mentioned, we're to be harmless as doves. What Christ is saying is your family, when you embrace Christ, it is your family that will turn against you. You don't turn against them. But just the following of Christ, Satan is going to stir up your family against you. Christ, in fact, was quoting the book of Micah. And in Micah chapter 7, verse 5, he says, "Trust you not in a friend." This is the times that he was living in, that he was foreseeing. "Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lies in your bosom. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the men of his own house." And then in verse 7 he says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." So Christ was not saying, "Destroy your family." He was saying, "Be harmless. But if your family turns against you, do not defect from the truth. Be willing to pay the price, but you're certainly not the one cutting off your family." The third indicator of a cult leader is they operate in secret. In John 18 and verse 20, it says here, "Jesus answered him and said, I spoke openly to the world." They all try to say that, no, this has to all operate in secret. Christ said, "I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret, I have said nothing." So Christ says, in secret, I've said nothing. And many will say, oh, but, you know, he spoke in parables. And so he didn't want people to understand what he's saying. He may have spoken parables, but he spoke openly. To his disciples, he explained the parables. But to the Jews in general, he spoke in parables so that they wouldn't understand, because he was fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. So there was a purpose for him speaking in parables, but he makes it very clear here, in secret, he said nothing. In Matthew 10 and verse 27, he actually gives us the command. He says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light." There's nothing to hide here. We have truth, speak the truth, come what may. He says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops." Nothing secret here. And so this notion of the cult leaders that don't tell anybody, you only special people can hear this message, this is part of the confidence trickster's portfolio. It's how he manipulates his leaders, because he doesn't want, he doesn't want his followers to have the ability to validate what they're hearing, to go home and talk to their family, to talk to friends, to say, "Hey, I heard this, what do you think?" That's how we are able to validate ideas. They want us to lose control of our own lives, to lose that sense of personal agency, and just follow a personality. I want you to look at Acts 14. Very interesting here in terms of considering the cult of personality. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 10, this is where Paul heals an invalid. And he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and walked, just like when Christ healed the invalid. So this was tremendous power. And notice verse 11. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They would have worshipped Paul and Barnabas. Notice verse 14, which, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." Did you notice the response of the apostles? It wasn't, "Oh yeah, bring it on, worship me. In fact, I'm not just an apostle, I'm a prophet." "No, I'm more than a prophet, and I just keep growing in titles." It was like, "Worship God, not me." In Acts 17 and verse 2, this was a very interesting passage as well. We see Paul, he says, as his manner was, verse 2, went in unto them, and every Sabbath, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He's in Thessalonica. Now they rejected him, so then he went to Berea. And in verse 11 it says, these, that is the people in Berea, the Jews in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So Paul had a lot of power in the scriptures. And each week he would show up and he would preach the word. But then the Jews could leave his presence and get out from under his influence. And daily they could search the scriptures to see, was what Paul's saying true? And maybe they had questions. And they could come back the following week with their questions. But the key here is they could get out from under the influence of Paul. Now in Acts 5 and verse 4, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And what's interesting about this story in terms of cults is they were all selling property and bringing the money to the apostles, and Ananias and Sapphira decided they would sell their property but keep back part of the price. And Peter says to them, "While you had it, wasn't it yours? It was yours. And after you sold it, the proceeds were under your power." So you don't see here in this early church any sense of taking control away from the followers. Now, how do you help someone who's under the influence of a cult leader? I think the key here is what's called cognitive dissonance, that you have to shake up what's going on in their mind. And there's two ways we can do that. One is they need to hear truth outside of the cult. So we need to expose them to truth outside of the cult so that they can see, like, wow, that's true, and it didn't come from the cult leader. And number two, we need to help them detect falsehood from within the cult. So it's like, if this man is perfect, if this man is so confident, why is he wrong? Why is he abusing the scriptures the way that he is or she is? Now, if you're involved in a cult, what can you do? I think the most important thing to do is to have time alone. Have time where you can think for yourself. And while you're thinking for yourself, set up some criteria to judge the cult. And I think one of the most important is Isaiah 8, verse 20. In Isaiah 8, verse 20, it says, the prophet says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Again, we'll read the passage again. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word," why is that? "It is because there is no light in them." So whatever we're hearing, whoever we're hearing it from, we need the ability, like the Bereans, in our own private space, to search the scriptures and see if these things are so, and to think for ourselves. God did not give us these minds not to use them. Again, I want to remind you of today's offers, because I haven't been able to go into the detail of the solution to cults. And the solution to cults is to find the true Church of God, where you can find the true answers to life's biggest questions. The first sermon I offered was the church that Jesus built by Van Stinson. Vance is going to go into a lot of detail into how Christ built this church and what he was building and why. And also, what is the church? A lot of people want to present the church and what the church stands for, and they don't know what the church is. Pastor Bill Watson goes into great detail into what the church is. And again, you can get both of these offers by dialing toll-free 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. You can go to our website, cgi.org. And as I mentioned, you can download our app at the iTunes Apple Store, the Amazon App Store, or Google Play Store. In closing, I want to say this. As I opened, in times of great uncertainty, people want certainty. In times of instability and lawlessness, they're looking for someone who has confidence. And this is the perfect breeding ground for confidence tricksters and cults. And anybody can fall into the trap of being involved in a cult. We have to be so careful, my friends, of the wiles of the devil. And the Word of God will protect us from the wiles of the devil. In the age of instability, let us be sure that we put on the whole armor of God. It's been great being with you. I hope you'll give these matters serious consideration. Look out for your friends and family. And again, I'll remind you, put on the whole armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.